But the chapter I've got tonight, I was reading it, and I really struggled with it. Because it's more like narrative, like a story form. It's just telling you how things are going on. It's very difficult to get application out of it. Like, and we never forced, when you read the Bible, you never forced the Bible to try and to say something, which it don't. But there's things in here tonight, and for me, when I read it, one thing that I did get for this is that with David, you can see at the start of this now, he's going to start fleeing from Saul after this chapter. And life starts to get overwhelming for him. Starts to go through a lot of things, and the pressures of things going on and life happens. David starts to run. And I'll tell you this tonight, like, if you're finding life overwhelming, you've got a lot of things going on, do you know it's alright to run sometimes? It's alright to run. But as long as you run towards Jesus. It's okay, because we've got this thinking as Christians, we've got to confront everything out. But we haven't. Sometimes, be honest with you, sometimes I'm too weak to even respond, to even acknowledge something's going on. But thank the God that we have got Jesus. He's on our side. So let's just pray. Let's just pray. And pray that the Lord will minister to us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you tonight, my God. That we thank you that we're able to come around your word. That we pray that as we read, my God, you give us lessons for living, Lord. That, Lord, not just for knowledge, my God, but our goal, my Lord, is to be more like yourself. That you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we thank you for all that you've done for us, my Lord. And we give you praise and the glory tonight. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we'll start from verse 1. It's 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "And David fled from Naloth in Ramah. And he went and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done? And what is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father, so that he seeks my life?' So Jonathan said to him, 'By no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without telling me first. And why should my father do this thing and not tell me so?' Then David took an oath again and said, 'Your father certainly knows that I have found favour in your eyes. And he has said, "Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death.'" So David knows, Saul's on about killing him. Saul wants him out of the way. And he knows that Saul's not going to tell Jonathan this, because Jonathan and Saul have got a friendship that's close and can't be broken. And David starts, he says, "What have I done? I've done nothing wrong. What have I done? Why is this all happening to me? I've done nothing wrong. I've served Saul faithfully. He walks before the Lord faithfully. Why is it happening to me?" You ever said them words? Why is it happening? What have I done wrong, Lord? I'm serving you the best I can. I'm doing this for you, doing that. What's happening? And situations come along, and they normally happen 3 or 4 things at a time. And before you know it, you could be just strolling along in your Christian walk. You'd be up here, and all of a sudden, you've hit rock bottom. Anyone else been there? And listen, David ran. And that's why I said it's all right to run. But as long as we run to the Lord. Because to take refuge in him. There's safety in Jesus, isn't there? There's safety there. He can shield us from storms of life. Listen, I've gone through things and I don't know how I've got out the other side of it. That's the truth of it. I haven't got a clue. It's just one day I've had, listen, we was going to get evicted once, weren't we? Had a letter through, sending the bailiffs, you're getting evicted. I had no money. I've just had my children on my bed, just put them around me like this. I just said, "Lord, I do not know what I'm going to do." And the next day, we don't know how, got sorted like that. The Lord just answered, he just intervenes. But it's running to the Lord. Now, have you ever run away from things before in like real life? Like this physical, because listen, I've run away plenty of times. I know you might think it's big old Chaffy. Don't, listen, believe me, take off in a second. Right? Because you know, if you don't run sometimes in this life, things can get worse. I remember once, this was in my younger days, we was playing in the park, I was about 14, I think, haven't got football, whatever. And there's a chavvy there just looking for argument. So he's come along to us and said, "You said something about my sister." Said what we said. And God, I don't know why. Things just come out sometimes. Right? And I said, "We didn't say that, mate, but it's true though." Right? Right? I couldn't help it. I thought it's gonna kill me stone dead. Right? But then what's happened was I've said to the boys next to me, stand together. Then we'd be all right. Look round, they've bolted. Right? So I took off. Right? So I took off in a second, right? I get up. Right? And I'm being chased. This is through Swanscombe. Right? I'm being chased. Right? And there's a row of gardens, 5 or 6 houses in a row. And I've cleared the fences over them gardens. Because I thought, and I hid in a graveyard for 3 hours. Right? Because the point was this. Either I run from the problem, or I'm going to get beat to death. So I thought, I could outrun the chavvy, and I ain't got no problem in hiding. I was a lot slimmer then. But in Christianity, if we don't get away from the problem, it hurts. And things just get worse and worse and worse. There's no shame in running. There's no shame in that. You ain't got to worry about what other people think. You're getting away from a problem. If you're seeking refuge in Jesus Christ, it's the best place that you can be. It's the best place. When you look through scripture, Elijah ran, didn't he? Jezebel said something. Elijah ran. The disciples ran that night when they betrayed the Lord, didn't they? Paul got let, when you go to Acts chapter 9, to escape Damascus, was let down in a big basket at the side of a building to run. He ran as well. There's nothing wrong with that. What did Jesus do when it's going to chuck him off a cliff? He says he escaped through the midst of them. There's nothing wrong in getting away. There's nothing wrong in that. We think we can have that mindset that we've let everyone down. Listen, let's run to God. And look, God always finds you, doesn't he? We sung that song there. The best thing I ever found, I'm holding on. And things like that. But let's be honest, a lot of the times, we ain't holding on. I sing this song, but there's been times in my Christianity, if the Lord ain't got hold of me, I don't know where I'm going to be at tomorrow. Thank the Lord that the Bible says that he found us. That we was the special treasure. That the Bible says that he sold all that he had to purchase us. That's the worth that he's got for us. And that's why giving your life to the Lord and that's it. That's not it. Salvation ain't just giving your life to the Lord and that's it. He's the one that he says, "Come to me, all ye burden and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come and get refuge. Come and get safety." The Father's just not give his son for nothing. He wants a relationship and to take care of us. That's what he wants to do. Even in the Old Testament, they had a city of refuge, didn't they? Where something happened, and if someone killed someone by accident, they could flee from the city into a city of safety where that person couldn't do nothing to them. God put the city there. But he's our refuge. And you might be going through things tonight. Well, that's okay, but you don't know what I'm going through. That's right, I don't. But God knows what you're going through. And if he knows, he can sort any situation out. There's no way that myself, I never thought I'd be saved one day. Never entered my head. You's probably the same. But when you're confronted with the gospel, God's got a plan for your life. And whether good or bad, what you're going through in here tonight, God's got a plan for you. But we've got to take the rough with the smooth. You see, David knew this, because he even says at the end of it, it's just a step between me and death. In other words, if Saul catches me, I'm dead. I'm dead, I've got no chance. And we'll read the next few verses. He just gives narrative. So, and it's from verse 4. It says, "So Jonathan said to David, 'Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you.' And David said to Jonathan, 'Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. And if your father misses me at all and say, David earnestly asked to seek permission for me that I might run over to Bethlehem, his city, that he may there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says, thus is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? So he's saying there, look, just say this. There's this feast going on. I'm meant to be there eating it with yous. But just tell your dad that I'm going to go to Bethlehem and eat this feast with my family. And if it's all right with your father, it's King Saul, he's not going to get upset. He'll go, well, all right, let him have it with his family. But if he's upset, you're going to know he's going to seek my life. He's going to seek my life. Right? And then when you go a bit further from verse 11, and he says, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out to my father sometime tomorrow, on the third day, and indeed there is good to all David, I do not send to you and tell you. May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do evil, then I will report it to you. Send you away that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you should not only show kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may die, but you should not have cut off your kindness from my house forever. See what he's saying there, he says, look, David, I know you're going to be king one day. You're going to be the rightful king. Right? I'll make sure nothing happens to you. Even if my father's got something horrible against you, he says, I'll send you away in safety. But do me this favour. Don't hold it against my household. Don't hold it against my household. Because later on, what's the man say? It's Mephibosheth, isn't it? Later on, he's lame on his feet. He shows, David remembers this. And he shows kindness to the house of Saul. And he says, he ate at the king's table. So David was a man of his word. And the friendship that he's got with Jonathan, really, let's be honest, is a friendship, I think, that as Christians, that we should have in our life with one another. Or at least one. There should be a friendship like that. Someone that you could tell anything to and not worry about them going to spread it around everywhere else. Because a friend will do that. Plenty of people say that they're your friends, don't they? There's plenty of people that say that. But a friend that can keep the secrets between you and them, that's what a true friend does. Because there's people I can confide in and I know it won't go no further. And there's some people I look at, I think, if I tell you, they're going to name Scotland by tonight. Because some people are. But we've got to be true. Because look, I want to be a trustworthy person. I want people to know, look, if you tell me something in confidence, I'll keep it because I love you. And you know, listen, words can do more damages than punches. If you destroy someone's... Because look, if someone tells me and you something in confidence, and then I go and tell someone else, we could not lose trust in them. We could destroy their walk with the Lord. We could destroy their Christianity. Words have power. You ever heard the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword? Listen, I've been punched a few times. You're right, a few days later, you're all right, aren't you? Through bruises, you're okay. But I've had things said to me that stick with me now. Listen, I know the few. Listen, that's what it's like. That's what real life's like. Because one thing you can't do, you can't. Once it leaves that, you cannot take it back. And as Christians, the Bible tells us to tame the tongue. The most dangerous weapon that you've got is that what comes out of there. And one thing I don't want to be to blame for, and I'm sure you don't want to be, is the destruction of someone's walk with the Lord. So we get down to verse. We go from verse 17. It says, then Jonathan calls David to vow again because he loved him. For he loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan said, David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat is empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remained by the stone of Izel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And I will send the lad saying, go and find these arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way as the Lord has sent you. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord is between me and you. So what he's saying there is, look, we do this sign. If my father's angry with you, I'm going to go out and shoot some arrows. He says, and if they come close, if they're before you, they're in between me and you, I'm going to basically say, you're safe, David. Your father wishes you no harm. Don't worry. He says, but if I shoot them further beyond you where you're sitting, there's trouble. Get out of town. Don't hang about. Go. Because my father seeks your life. Now, I just want you to put yourself in Jonathan's shoes. This ain't an easy thing for Jonathan. Even though he loved David. Now, he loves David. He's still going against his own father, isn't he? Who's the king? We can read this as if it's like an easy thing for Jonathan to do. Jonathan gets found out, he's dead. But Jonathan knew that God meant for David to be on the throne. And it's an hard thing. And listen, there's going to be times in mine and your life where we're going to have to stand firm in the things of the Lord, even for the sake when it goes against our own families. We're going to have to stand upon the word of God. And it's not easy. When Jesus promises you, you'll be hated for my name's sake, you'll be persecuted, that's what happens. Because it will come. The Bible says that a man's enemies, Jesus said, are those of his own household, because they don't understand. They're pulling in the flesh, you're of the spirit. When we have to stand upon the word of God, things are going to come against us. Jesus divides families. And listen, that's what's going to happen. That's what happens. And Jonathan stood firm. But me and you know the right way to go. This is written in the word of God. This is a testimony forever. That Jonathan stood upon the word. He knew God's plan. He wouldn't budge. And he's written in scripture that's eternal. Your testimony. If you stand for what's right, whatever comes or goes against you. And it will happen. Do not think your loved ones won't say nothing to you. Do not ever think, don't be naive and don't think that, because there's going to be situations come along where you're going to be put in an hard place, and you know that you, by standing by the things of the Lord, it's going to alienate you from them. And what do? For testimony's sake, you say, Lord, you have to put yourself in his hands and go, I don't know the outcome of this, but I know I've got to stand upon you. Listen, God's faithful to us. There ain't nothing big in us to stand firm on. He gives you the strength. But I'm telling you one thing now. By doing that, you'd suffer months, years, heartache, pain. Times when you think, you feel isolated, that you think, if I could turn the clock back, should I have done something different or said something different? But you know what's right and you know what's the right way to go. And I'm telling you this because things will come in your life where you've got to make a firm decision to stand in the things of the Lord. And it's not easy. It's very hard. And you bear the scars for it as well. You will bear the scars for it. But the one thing that you do, but people do when you do that, they take your testimony seriously. They know where you stand in Jesus Christ. And I'd rather be known where I stand in Jesus Christ than someone that's tossed to and fro, going by the wind, like in and out of church all the time, or thinking, well, here, there, 1 minute, doing things to the world another minute. Please, Lord Jesus, when I go, I'll be known as a man who stands upon the word of God. That's what I want to be known as. Not someone who never took Jesus serious. Because one thing I do know is this, right? I'm going to always wish I'd done more for Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, all what's happened down on this earth, all what I've gone through, all through the heartache, the pain, the hard times, the good times, is not going to matter one bit. The only thing that's going to matter is what I've done for you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's what's going to matter. So don't worry about what's going on and the hard decisions we've got to make. Always stand in the Lord. Always stand in Him. Then verse 24 it says, then David hid himself in a field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. So not only has David run, at the start of the chapter, David runs. Now he's hiding. So you got him running, and now he's hiding. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in taking you away from everything. Because you can listen, once you start running, you have to come to a stop somewhere, don't you? And I think this is a good scripture because Proverbs 27:12 it says, a prudent man, that's like a sensible man, a man that thinks, a prudent man, he foresees evil and hides himself, and the simple pass on and are punished. See, someone that sees evil, have you ever been somewhere? Ever been at a wedding or somewhere like that and you think, in a minute, you know the atmosphere's a bit on top here, it's all going to kick off. You've been there, listen, I've been there loads of times, I thought this is going to kick off here in a minute. And you see that, and I go, I'll give her the nod. Come on, ash gel, because I don't none of this. Right? And it's because you have to see that. We've got to be wise enough to see when things are going to happen. We've got to be wise enough to withdraw from situations when things are going to happen. Because I can control, to a certain extent, things that go on in my life, what I can control. But I can't control what everyone else does. Yous can't control what everyone else does. If someone comes against you, comes to the start or whatever, I can't control that person. But I've got to rely upon the Lord. And that's why I said, and this scripture in Psalms, when it says, keep me as the apple of your eye. And hide me under the shadow of your wings. That's the place where we got to hide. When you're going through things, when life gets overwhelming, when you feel so much pressure, when you think, I just don't know tomorrow. If I wake up, I don't think I could carry on another day. The place to hide yourself is in Jesus Christ. That's the place to hide yourself. Jesus even promised, didn't he? He said, come to me all ye burdened, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest, and it's a promise. When we hide ourselves in Jesus Christ, it gives rest. He knows we need it. Jesus rested himself, didn't he? He withdrew himself away to rest. There's going to be times when we got to. Listen, we can serve 24/7, can't we? We can serve this. We've got so much going on, we can never cease serving the Lord. Right? You've seen that in the story of Mary and Martha. Right, Martha was. There's nothing wrong with Martha serving the Lord. That ain't the point of the story, is it? But nothing wrong with Martha, but being at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him, spending time with Him, finding the rest at the feet of Jesus. That's where it's got to be. Sometimes we got to take, because there's sometimes, and when you serve the Lord, you could be 2 or 3 weeks and you're flat out, and on the point sometimes you feel like you're going to burn out. And then when there's going to be weeks in your Christianity where there's nothing, and you can just rest in Jesus Christ. But we've got to take them times of rest. We all need refreshing. We all need that, don't we? I'm not the only one that needs that. Every one of us needs refreshing in here. Hebrews 4:9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. God don't put things in the scripture. You know, because we can have the mentality of, listen, keep on going, keep on serving. If you stand still, what's happening to you? No, rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Spend time with Him. Recharge the batteries, if you like. But make sure you take them. And when you're going through things, listen, we can try everything else out there. You can try chucking money at it, try your mates, try anything you want. But there's only one place, really, you have to go to. And He puts all things in the place. He knows better than what we do. Listen, the Bible says that we are His workmanship, creating good works. We're His workmanship. Do you think that He don't know what you're going through before you was going to go through it? Don't you think you weren't part of His plan? That you was going to go through something? New Testament warns us time and time again. We're going to have trials, tribulations in this world. We're going to go through lots of things. But he knew that. Don't you think he ain't gone before us? The good shepherd, the ones who we hear his voice. When he says, what did he say? Go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for your rod and staff, they comfort me. Right? Then the shadow of death ain't when you die. We're walking through the shadow of death now. Any minutes, that's where death's all around. But the good shepherd's gone before us. And the sheep follow the shepherd. And the point is this. It don't matter what me and you are going through in here tonight. He's already gone through it. He's already gone through it. And all we got to do is not let the focus go over here. Just keep your eyes upon him. He knows. He's the shepherd. A shepherd takes care of sheep. That's what he does. He loves and cares for you. And listen, there's times when I need that. Listen, sometimes I need correcting, but in Jesus Christ, he knows. He knows when I've got to go before the throne of grace to find help for a time of need. He knows that. He knows that sometimes he's got to make me go there. Because he knows what's good for me and he knows what's good for you. And the trouble is, me and you think we know better. And I know what I do know. There's been problems that's happened in my Christianity where I haven't really gone and sought the Lord after. And they've only got worse. Not because of the Lord's doing. It's because I've gone to him last. When I should have gone to him first, things could have gone a lot different. I've made the problem worse. And if you're going through things and you think you can't carry on in this place, you think, oh Lord, if I don't even know if I'm going to be a Christian. Seek the Lord. When you go home tonight, get on your knees. Just talk to him. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Say, Lord, let's promise that you give me rest. You know, you're the shepherd that I can hide under your wings. That you'll take care and comfort me. And God holds on to his promises. Listen, I've been saved 20 years. And believe me, I've gone through heartache, pain, and things where I thought, if I died, it wouldn't have bothered me at all. Life, even the desire to live just departed from me. I didn't even want to live. But yet, Jesus knew what I needed, and it was him. Jesus, he took hold of me, and he cared for me and loved me. He put people around me that I needed, and he kept me going. And I ain't the only one he's done that to in here. I know there's testimonies in here where God's took people from the lowest of the low, the deepest place where they think, I can't get up. That pain only goes so far, it just don't hurt no more. And he's took them out and he's lifted them up and set them back up here. It's the power of the Lord. Hide yourself in Jesus Christ. So then we go through verse 25 where Saul gets upset. This is where he gets upset and we see where he is now. Well, say verse 25. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat near Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something's happened to him, and he's unclean. Surely he's unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why is the son of Jesse not come to eat either to yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, and David earnestly asked permission for me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go from our family and as a sacrifice in the city. And my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I've found favour in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore he's not come to the king's table. And therefore Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. And he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse over to your own shame and the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send him to me, for he's going to die, he's surely going to die. This is where shows Saul's character. Jonathan never sees this. And now he sees what Saul's all about. Saul straight away blamed his mother, didn't he? Basically, what Saul said here, you take after her lot. That's what Saul's basically saying here. That's what he says, blamed her, isn't he? He ain't one of mine, took after her lot. That's what he's saying. So now he's upset, and like Jonathan's like trying to reason with his father. He's 32, it says. What he said to him, why should he be killed? What's he done? And then Saul tried to cast the spirit in to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So even there, Saul's that much enraged. The man's not thinking right. He's even picked up a spear to kill his own son. This is to say, look, King Saul started off at the start of his reign. He saw among the prophets, you know, Holy Spirit's appointment. As soon as the Spirit's departed from Saul, look at the downward spiral he's gone. He's got to the point where now he's even to kill his own son. That's where he's got to. It says, so Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month for his grief for David, because his father had treated him shamefully. And say it was in the morning that Jonathan went out to the field at the appointed time with David, and a little lad was with him. And then he said to the lad, now run and find the arrows which I shoot. As the lad ran, he shot the arrow beyond him. And when the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, go to the caravan to the city. So basically, what's happened is, he's gone out, he's upset. The day when David was meant to know what's gone on, he shoots the arrows, and they've gone beyond David. And that's when he shouts out, hurry, make haste. Like, it's not just that his anger's bad against you. Like, if he's tried to kill me, Jonathan, his own son, he's going to waste no time, they're going to kill you. Make haste, David. So the lad's got the arrows and gone. And verse 41, it says, as soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place towards the south, fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed one another and they wept together, but David more so. You see, now we read this verse 41. So now we got David run, he hid, and now he's arose. He gets up, right? Because there comes a point, like I said before, listen, you can run, you can hide in Christ, but there comes a time when we've got to get back up and go back out. There comes a time in there. Right, when we read them people at the start. Right? After Elijah ran from Jezebel, after he ran there, the next thing he met was Elisha, the prophet. So God gave him a companion, someone that could encourage him. The disciples, they met with the Lord after they run. All of a sudden, these were men that could turn the world upside down. The Apostle Paul. And what was a blessing was this, was the first man that the Apostle Paul met after he was let down and went on the run was Barnabas. Who knows what Barnabas means? The name Barnabas. Son of encouragement. God sent him, give him the encouragement. Jesus, when He went away, got out from among the crowd when they wanted to chuck him off a cliff. It says he went down, started teaching the synagogue, and started to wheel people. Listen, things only go on for a season. They only go on for so long. Encouragement always comes. God always brings encouragement. You know, some of us have had problems go on for a long time, had situations go on for a long time. But God can still bring you encouragement. He can still build you up. Listen, I've got things going on in my life. You've got things going on in your life. We still have to arise at some point and walk. We can't just stay hidden. We still got to go on and walk. You see the results of the situation, what's gone on with David, with Saul. This is completely out of his hands. Completely out of it. Everything that's gone on is completely out of his hands. But God's got a plan for David. Listen, in a minute, we're going to read... whoever's preaching, we're going to read, David ends up in the enemy's camp, really, with the Philistines. He's got to go all through these things. God's going to let him go through all these things because God's going to build the character of David to make him after a man after God's own heart. And God takes me and you through loads of different things going on in our life, all situations, all trials, tribulations. We'd even go through heartache and pain, good times, bad times. But God wants us to be a man after his own heart, a man or woman after God's own heart. But we can't get there unless we go through them trials and tribulations. You're never going to get there because how are we going to know the heart of God? How are we going to know his heart when he sent his only begotten son upon the cross? To die upon the cross at Calvary, to shed his blood. Because if we're after that man, if we want to be that man or woman after God's own heart, we got to be willing to lay our life down for one another. Jesus done that, he went through the cross. We've got to pick up the cross daily. He takes us through these things. And what's he say? We go through these things, that we can be an encouragement to someone else who's going through the exact same thing we've just been through. Me and you pray we want to be a man or woman after your own heart, Lord. Someone that we want to be more and more like you. We can't just take the easy things all the time. It don't work. Look, God goes, well, you want to be how I want you to be? Don't moan about the journey. Sometimes you just got to put your hands in the air and go, Lord, I just don't know what's going on. But what I do know, you're in control and you're going to get me to where you want me to be. That's where we've got to be at. You see, God's got a plan for everyone, mine and your life, and every one of us, God's got a plan for. He has got a plan. The Bible says we're his workmanship. There's a plan. None of us are insignificant. Everyone in this church is important to the Lord. Everyone's of worth. Do you know, me and you are priceless. Me and you are priceless in the eyes of God. We think we're rubbish in the eyes of God, which we are, from our standpoint. But in God's standpoint, this amount of rubbish what we are, God bankrupted heaven to buy us. That's what we are. We're rubbish in our sight, but God sees us as precious. And God's got a plan for you, like a loving father has. I've got a plan for my children's lives. Like trying to bring them up the way I can and direct them the way I can. But God's got a plan for mine and your life. Just like he's got for David's. But it's for his glory. Because everything we are is in Jesus Christ. When me and you give our life to the Lord, the Bible says our life ain't our own no more. We're brought at a price. We're his, we belong to him. And the heart of every Christian should be, Lord, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. Put your desires in my heart, Lord. Make me more like you. Help me to hate sin like you hate sin. Help me to love how you love, Lord. But only you can make me that way. We can't make ourselves that way. I can put on an act and act like a Christian. But that can only go on for so long. But when a man or woman of God's got the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts, it's a natural thing. It just shows. You know, remember this as well. Look, this is an even harder time for David here. This is the last time he sees Jonathan. The last time. He's heartbroken. He's gone from a place where he knows he's going to be set up as king one day. A place he don't want to leave. His best friends there who he loves. And God's taking him away from that. He's being taken away from that. Going to be taking on journeys that really he'd probably want to avoid. And God's going to bring him back round one day to be king. Right, God, we could leave places, right? Look, when I was in church before here, I wasn't in a good place in my Christianity at all. Right, this is Mary will tell you, everyone knows anyway. I weren't in a good place. And to be honest with you, if I never come here, I wasn't going to be a Christian very long. That's the truth of the matter. It weren't long after my brother died. I was going through a lot in my own life. Me and Mary was going through a lot and just a lot of rubbish. And coping with it was just hard. I just had to get away from normal familiar surroundings. Just familiar surroundings I just had to get away from and put myself somewhere else. Because I thought, if I don't, I'm just destroying myself. And it was 3 months, wasn't it? I said, I'm only coming here 3 months. It's been 10 years. I was only coming here for 3 months. That was my plan. But God had a plan, didn't he? When I stepped foot in Charles Sutton Church, I never had it. It wasn't in my plan was always go back to Dartford. That was my plan. That's what God planned you. And listen, I've got lovely brothers and sisters in Dartford Church. Love them to death. Joe Boswell was my pastor. He was gutted. He even tried to convince me not to come. I remember he was in his motor one day. I said, Joe, I told him, so I'm going to Charles Sutton, Joe. He went, you won't last down there. He was sick, right? He won't last. He said, look, cushy all through the summer. He went, drive through there, all lovely flowers, all nice and summery through Kent. Wait until the winter comes, Chabby, he went. I snow that eye, wind, looks all mullety. Won't last long then, right? Right? He didn't want me to go. And it was hard to leave, because this, I love Joe. He was my pastor, but he was my friend. And it was hard, God, to come here. But it's what God wanted. God's got a plan. And what I'm saying is, this, you might not be here forever in this church. I might not be here forever in this church. And it ain't always a good feeling when you have to leave somewhere. You might be with company now, it's the best friends you've got, but there could be a time God says, look, I'm going to take you to the other end of the country to serve me. It ain't always easy to leave somewhere you love. But what we might not understand, that wherever we go, God's got a plan for mine and your life. God will have his purpose in mind in your life. Whether it runs smoothly out of obedience or he has to take us out of disobedience, God's plans for mind in your life will come to pass. And it shows in the life of David. And the last thing they said in verse 42. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and may between my descendants and your descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And that's the end of the chapter. At this point, David's gone. He's left his best friend. But thank the Lord, and this is what I do thank the Lord of. In the Word of God, he never just shows us all the nice things that Bible people, like characters, go through, or the easy things, or the blessings all the time. The Bible shows us real spiritual life. That's what the Bible shows us. The Bible don't pull no punches. And because in our hearts, we could come here with a big smile on our face. We could just look the part. But inside, we could have all things going on. And I know these are hard pieces of scripture, because David leaves really on a downer, doesn't he? But take encouragement tonight that David, he weren't a superman. He was a man. He's a man just like me and you. He's just a normal person, and God done a work in him. And take encouragement tonight that you might be in here feeling low, feeling down, thinking, "What can God do in my life?" This is what God can do in your life. He can take you from where you're feeling now, and he can make you feel like a king or queen. That's what God can do. He took David. He took David from there. He took David from leaving the best friend he ever had and made him the king of Israel. Amen. Just take encouragement. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord.